we're having a bit of the Provence to take off the edge a little bit for our first podcast.
And just a disclaimer, we do have three dogs walking around us. They might bark or make some noise from time to time.
In fact, you could probably hear one now. They're having a little bit of a rough.
Anyway, welcome everyone to Give Talking a Shot.
We are the co-founders of Ease Your Mind Counselling Services, which we will put in the description of the episode of our website and our socials, where you can find out more about us and make a self-referral if you need to. yes, my darling, it is you now. We've gone over this structure many a time.
Also, about me?
Yeah. Who are you?
Who am I? All right, so my name's Bradley. I'm, as has been said, a co-founder of Ease Your Mind Counselling Services. I am a head teacher of a primary school. I've been a head teacher for 3 years and I've been in education for 15 years. And that is our dog Bear.
So I'm Lauren and I am currently working full-time in the capital market / financial / stock exchange industry. I've been doing that for around 12 years now. And now I have decided to take the leap on attempting to add a different industry to the mix, which is like a vocational kind of venture. And that is to become a therapeutic counsellor, which I did 3 years ago and am now officially qualified.
Woohoo!
Woo!
So, have you spoken about what we're going to do in the podcast?
No. So basically, we've decided to create this podcast because we feel like there are probably lots of people out there that want to become counsellors or starting their journey as students, and we wanted to discuss all things counselling, life as a student counsellor, navigating, learning whilst in a full-time job, newly qualified counselling, private practice tips, just being real people, discussing counselling myths, mental health, and our view on the industry.
And in this episode, we are going to focus on why we both chose counselling. We're going to talk about our understanding, thoughts and feelings on becoming a therapeutic counsellor based on where we are right now in our journeys, me starting tomorrow, Lauren, as you said, qualifying in February. And then we're going to go into a bit where we bust a few myths about counselling, which I think is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I think there's a few things that people think about counselling and hypnotherapy, for example, so it'd be good to kind of bust those. Where shall we begin?
Okay. So, Lauren, why did you choose counselling?
Well, so, God, so I'm now 30. Back when I was in my early 20s, I felt like I was going through a little bit of a tough time. My mental health was at risk and I was feeling, just a little bit down. I was feeling a little bit anxious, I would say. And I spoke to a friend and she was like, why don't you just try counselling? And I was like, oh, God. Okay, and she was like, you've got nothing to lose. And I thought, okay, right, I'll do it. And then when I'd done it, it was like one of the best things I've ever done. And I remember asking my counsellor at the time, how did you become a counsellor? And he said, many, many years and years and years of university. And I just thought, I can't, I'm not cut out for that. And then one day when I was really hating my job, I was like, I really just want to do a job that I really enjoy. And that turned out to be, counselling. So I looked up some courses in the local area, found that you can actually become accredited by the Prince's Trust, which is now the King's Trust. And, I can be a therapeutic counsellor without going to university. What about you, my love?
So, like I said, I've been in education for about 15 years now. And what I love about the job is that I feel like I'm giving back to my community. What I found is whilst doing that job is that everything is underpinned by people's mental well-being and mental health. So in my profession, whether you're chasing academic results or achievement elsewhere, it's always the mental health of your students, your staff and the parents that needs to be solid before you can build on that foundation. And so I want to pursue something where I can go to the roots of the problem and make a difference there.
How wonderful. No, it is going to be an amazing journey. I know that sounds quite cringe, but it is actually so fun. You'll really, really love it. And it's exciting that you're starting tomorrow. We've got a few questions for each other, don't we?
Yeah. Do you want to fire away first or me?
No, I think I will. Just on the back of like what you just said there, I think. It kind of like trails on. So, well, anybody knows me well. I am the question master. I couldn't think of one question, so it's like four in one, and hopefully you can create a question out of it.
Sure.
So, bear with. So, when did you first think about pursuing counselling / get into it? And when and why did it pop into your head as an option, essentially?
I would say that I actually first thought about, I guess, counselling in a way as a person studying at school thinking about what I was going to do as a degree. I did end up doing a law degree, but there was a time where I was debating between was do philosophy, psychology, law, and because I've always been fascinated by the mind and how it works. So I think that was the first time I thought about it on an intellectual level. On a helping people level, I think, it, like I said, it grew within me due to my experiences at school. The parts that I love most about being a head teacher is when I'm in a room with a parent and I'm helping them realise that they need to seek help to support them, like support themselves so they can support their child. Or I'm doing pastoral work with the children or cultural work with the school to build our philosophy, our identity and the mental strength to build the children holistically. So I think as I was growing in the education industry, more and more as I become a leader, went through the ranks, I just more and more enjoyed the concept of counselling people. And I think it got to a point probably about 5 years ago where I did actually start looking for courses. And I think I had the taboo of I thought I had to go back to university, which is just impossible and expensive when you've got a full-time job.
So we had kind of the same thing there then, didn't we? That I felt like, oh, you had to go like to uni for years, which is like, I think since you met me as well, we've discussed quite a few times like how mad it is that like this industry is so unregulated that like you can literally call yourself a counsellor as long as you have yourself like backup and you're not go against like ACA, like Advertising Standards Agency rules. But like it's crazy really that like you don't actually have to have like a psychology degree to become like a counsellor.
I think the industry is becoming more aware of how important it is. And I think it's really good that there are courses that are not university degrees now that people can do it. Like, for example, through Chrysalis, which is what you
shout
do.
Out.
Yeah, give us some money. Which is where you completed it and where I'm going to do it. And I think that's important because I do think you should have some sort of education and degree in counselling in order to do it. So
Definitely, yeah. So
who knows, I think as the industry keeps growing and mental health and awareness is more mainstream and seen as more like a physical ailment is seen, like mental health and physical health are, I think, more aligned now than ever, maybe that regulation will change.
Yeah, I think that is like really interesting about this industry is like that stigma. I don't feel like there is one as much anymore. Like if anything, businesses want to promote that they're really putting it like at the forefront of their mind all the time. And I think more and more people are reaching out and it is becoming more popular. So I think really you're starting it at the perfect time and I've probably qualified at quite a great time really.
Yeah, hopefully, because we want our business to thrive.
Exactly. Get involved, guys.
Next question. Should I go for one for you?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so obviously I'm about to start my counselling course. It's a 3-year course. One of the things that is on my mind and that has stopped me in the past in pursuing this is the time commitment that it takes, having a full-time job and trying to do this as well. How did you find that?
Yeah, I think that's what I love about like when you talk about starting this course, because I love that I've given you like straight away you can see that I was able to do that while having a full-time job. And my job is like, don't get me wrong, it's not like a head teacher, because you've described head teaching as like basically running a business, and obviously I don't run, well now I do, co-founder, he's mine, but working in the financial industry, my job can be really stressful and can be really busy. So yeah, it was tough, don't get me wrong, but it's so weird because you do, so with Chrysalis, the way it works is that you obviously, you know, but anyone that doesn't know yet, it's one lesson a month and it's hybrid learning. So it's online and in person. And it's 10 till 5 on a Saturday or Sunday. They kind of vary that. And you don't always have something like to do, like homework wise, like coursework. So sometimes your coursework or your homework is to literally just read. So you do have like easy kind of work to do in that sense, but you're so interested in it. It's so different to like when you go to school and you're learning all the different subjects, because no one loves all the subjects. You always just have one that you really love, right? So when you're pursuing something that you know that you really do enjoy, it's yeah, it's like it hits different. So you kind of, you make time for it because you're excited about doing it. And I think what's important is that a lot of the work that you get asked to do is a lot about self-reflection. So like when you do this course, it is like a journey to like getting to know yourself as well.
Find yourself, yeah.
Yeah, and like when you do meet people as well, like back in the day, if I ever like met someone that was like a bit of an arse to me, I'd be like, oh god, like what's wrong with them? But then like now I'd be like, I wonder what they're going through, I wonder what's happened in their life that's made them feel like that. And you just, your mindset is so different after the course. So yeah, you just basically, you make time for it, you just really do, and you won't struggle as much as what you think, because yeah, honestly,
because you see just, it as something you're enjoying.
Exactly.
Like going out with friends.
It's more
or,
of a hobby. Yeah, it's really interesting, honestly. You will never feel like, oh god, I've got a 3,000 word essay to do. Sometimes it can be like that in the way of like, oh, like the theory and stuff like that. And if you're not really like educational, like loving that part, but you will enjoy everything you read. Like, no doubt, I can guarantee you, you enjoy every single class. The amount of times I've gone out on a Friday night and thought, oh my God, I'm hungover on a Saturday night, I've got to go learn about this. But it's like the best day, 10 till 5, like, love it. Loved every second of it.
Okay. I'm going to hit you with another question about, because you just said about how you loved every second of it.
Mm-hmm.
What year was your favourite year? So it's a 3-year course, isn't it? What year was your favourite year and why?
So yeah, it is 3-year course, like you said. So the first year is hypnotherapy. Second year is basically your first year of starting to learn how to become a counsellor. And then your third year is still the same, but then also whilst going alongside a placement. By far, like my third year was my favourite. Like without a doubt, which is interesting actually, because you being a teacher, not just a head teacher, but a teacher in general, I imagine you must have done this before, that when you do like CPD training, do you practice in front of people and you kind of role play?
Yep.
So like when you do your course, you've got a kind of role play, and I hated that. Like I'm a very confident person. Like I love meeting new people, but having to role play with someone, to, you basically do this thing called triads, and you have one observer, one client, one therapist, and it's like someone watching you. You've got the tutor going around to each group, and you're like, oh god, they're like watching me. I've got to like, and then the person that's a client, it's not about them personally, so they're playing a client, so it's not real responses.
Yeah, so it's a bit awkward.
Yeah, it's a little bit awkward. It's a little bit like some people do try and challenge you, and they're just like, oh, I want them to try and get the answer out of me, when they don't really have an answer anyway because they're playing a role. Do you know what I mean? So it is a bit annoying in that way. But I didn't originally get quite scared about having my first client, because I was a bit like, oh god, it's going to be like that. But it was like the best thing ever. Like it was just nothing like the triads, and I just loved every single second. I feel like it went so quick, and I'm sad it's actually over because I loved it. I really did. And even though like you're not getting paid because you have to do 100 free hours, it's just by far the most amazing experience ever that I've ever had in my whole life. It's crazy.
Did you find it challenging to fit that in around work?
I did. I was lucky enough to have, like, with the nature of my work, I have shift patterns. So I have an early shift of 7 till 3, or I have 10 till 6. So when I finished at 3 and I was working from home, I could fit in a couple clients, so it was okay. But there were people on my course that were in education, that were teachers or had full-time jobs in something else. And, yeah, they did find it hard to just do evenings online or at weekends. But what's important as well is that you do the hybrid learning because of technology advanced these days. So you have to do 49% online and 51% in person. You have to do more in person. So yeah, it is tricky, but you can add on extensions. You can ask for like an extra month, extra month, extra month. And at the end of the day, they do just want people to pass their course so that you're...
They help you out. They're
yeah,
not
your interest is at heart there, so...
Yeah.
So, yeah. What are you looking forward to the most about tomorrow?
So, I think I'm a bit of a geek. I just love knowledge, just for the fact of, like, understanding knowledge. Like, I love that. Mm. And, like I said, I've always been fascinated with the mind. Like... Our body is there, like, to help us, to help our mind survive, really, isn't it? Like, if it were, like, our mind is the thing that runs it all. It's the most important thing in our body, in regards to our consciousness and how we live. And just, like, dipping a toe into the ocean of what that actually is fascinating for me. So I just cannot wait to be in a room having someone who has more knowledge than me talk about this is how you help a brain work better. Like, that just fascinates me. So I'm really excited to start that. A journey into more knowledge. And I think, secondly, like I've said, this is something that I have, in one way or another, wanted for a long time. I feel like it's going to turn into a real passion, like, of mine. So to be able to be going somewhere to start that, because I want to do it. So learning information because I want to do it in my own time. And being around like-minded people, starting that journey. And the fact that hypnotherapy, which is the first year, I only need to study for a year, and then I'm qualified to do that, and I can start practicing it. That whole, all of that together.
Can I ask you something on that, actually, that's just come to mind? Because when I first, obviously, joined the course, it was to become a therapeutic counsellor. So when I learned that, the first year is hypnotherapy, like, I was actually quite shocked. I was like, hypnotherapy? Like, what? Like, why is that the first year? Before you met me, did that surprise you as well? Not before you met me, but the first thing, like, the first time I told you when you had met me.
What about hypnotherapy?
Did you think, oh, that's weird that you've become, like, a hypnotherapist, like, I'm a qualified hypnotherapist, like, and it's part of the journey to get there.
Yeah, well, we're going, in our next section, we will talk about myth-busting.
Yeah.
So I don't want to give too much away, but in that you'll... quickly understand what my thoughts of hypnotherapy were beforehand.
But it surprised you, right?
Yeah, I didn't know it existed. I didn't know hypnotherapy. I mean, I know hypnosis existed. I didn't know there was something more general called hypnotherapy. And
that people practice it as well.
And people practice it. And also, you only have to study it for a year at a lower level.
I know,
so, like, level 3, I believe it is, for hypnotherapy. Yeah, and it's level 5 to be a therapeutic counsellor. And it's the 2 years extra to add it. I find it all really interesting, and I don't think I'm going to truly understand it until I'm on the course and experiencing it to understand why hypnotherapy is level 3 and continue on 1,000% is level 5.
You will understand the minute you do it. You'll realise why you do it. Definitely. I've got another question for you.
Yeah, go. Fire away.
So is there anything that worries you about either becoming a counsellor or anything you might encounter when you are one?
One thing that I think is going to worry me is, obviously, I'm going to study for 3 years and I'm going to be qualified in my area of therapeutic counselling. But I think there's degrees of help that people can have. And I think what I would need to know so that I was ethically and morally sound in this industry was, I would want to know, when do I need to pass on someone under my care to someone else that can help them more? So, like, a psychiatrist or even, like, the police or a medical professional that has that qualification that they might need to... because they'll be in a better place to help them than me.
Yeah.
And I think... that comes with knowledge, but it also comes with experience. So I think it's a bit of a it's a thing that I am conscious of, that I have to be really aware of, because everyone goes into counselling because they want to help people. And I think to have that always on the mind, to be mindful that actually I might not be the right person to help this person. So my job here is to find the right person to help them, I think is something that I'm conscious of.
Yeah, and I think that you're very similar to me in that respect. where like you do want to help everyone, and in some ways you don't want to admit defeat, you want to be able to help everyone. But like one thing that you do learn when you go on this course, like my tutor said to me, or said to all of us, if you want to become rich, you're in the wrong industry. And don't get me wrong, there's money to be made, but like we know in ourselves, we're not doing it to just get like mega rich. Which is a little bit no, but we are doing it on the side of our jobs because we enjoy it. We like our busy jobs as well,
like, it's, helping people,
yeah, though. And it's like the different contrast of it, and like it's just a really nice boost to know that you're helping somebody else. And I think when you do learn that, when they say that it's like a vocation rather than like an ambition to be like rich, I truly understand that now. And not only is it about like knowing your experience of how you can help someone, but it's about working ethically. And at first, like, I never really knew what ethics was, and like working ethically, like what did that even mean? But like it just means like working within your bounds. Like if you really know in your heart of hearts that you're not the best person for that person, then you do need to refer them on. And like I told you before, obviously, and like for our listeners, that when I had a client once that he was going through grief, and he did talk about suicide ideation. And at first it really worried me because that was the first time anyone ever mentioned that scary word to me. And I thought, wow, I've got somebody's life in my hands.
And that must feel that pressure.
Honestly, especially when you hear words like, this is my last hope, and this is the last thing that I'm going to do before I basically top myself. And like, it's really actually quite scary to think I had somebody's life in my hands.
Yes.
And one thing that you'll learn when you go into your third year is that you have to have a supervisor, even when you qualify as well. So it's not just for when you're a student. So I've still got one now, that is somebody to refer to be able to break confidentiality with and get advice from. And I had to have like an emergency session where I was just like, I don't know what to do. And she did help me through. There's like questions you need to ask yourself, which we might go through on like a different episode one day when we focus more on suicide. But yeah, she helped me realise that like, no, I am capable and I want to continue. So I did. And it was absolutely like fantastic. He really got through it. He didn't have that suicide ideation after like maybe like 12 sessions with me. But then at one point he did talk about his eating behaviours, which in my opinion was disordered eating. And I don't have experience in that. And we've had such a good relationship, client therapist, that like, I loved seeing him. He was like one of my favourite clients. I know you're not meant to have a favourite client, but I had like my favourite. He was great. I loved seeing him every week. And we had such a great relationship. But I had to refer him on ethically because I'm not capable of being able to be the best help for him in terms of like eating disorders. And hopefully one day I'll be able to do like more CPD training and be able to go into that kind of like sector. But I know that like I wasn't the best help for him. So ethically I had to move him on. But like you do feel great afterwards because you know you've done it as like a good, like I don't know what the word is, like a good deed, I guess, like you know that you've stuck by it, you've done the best for your client. It's just because you're so invested in them.
Because you could try and say, actually I'm going to do my within my capabilities, I want to try my best to deal with this, but you knew there was better professionals out there.
I mean, they even say to you that like when you have a client that like is really heavily reliant on counselling, which there are clients out there that really just feel like they need to talk all the time, you do need to sit with them and say, like, where do you see our sessions going? Because are you just sitting there taking money for them knowing you're not helping them? Or are you gaining something? Are you gaining enough from your sessions? So that's something you need to ask yourself as well. But it all comes with experience, talking to your supervisor, and it's like, in my opinion, nothing to be worried about.
I have a question to circle back to something you said before. Supervision, obviously that's really important because you're taking that load from your clientele that you're helping out.
Yeah.
And that's a weight on you. And so you need a supervisor. But in that moment, that wasn't just like a periodical offloading to make sure that the weight just wasn't on you. That was like an emergency.
Yeah.
So like obviously we might go into this more in more detail in a later episode, but just briefly, what's the relationship with you and a supervisor? Like, because of the agreement you have between each other, because they are giving you supervision, can you call them up? Like, I'm assuming as soon as you got off of that meeting, that counselling session with that person, you wanted to call your supervisor straight away. Were you able to do that, or do you have to wait?
So, firstly, I think it is all down to the individual experience. I think I was very lucky that I found the supervisor that I did, which luckily I found through my placement. It was a recommendation through the placement, and we just hit it off from the get-go. But there were people in my class that didn't have a great experience, and they was saying that like they never clicked with them. They could tell they just wanted the hour and a half to be done, and they weren't invested. They didn't give enough advice. And it was a really shame. Like it was horrible to hear really that they had that experience. But if you do have a good experience and you haven't got these like set times and days that you see them, I was able to with my supervisor message her and say, look, I've had a really tough session with a client and they spoke about suicide and I feel like I really need to talk to someone. So she made herself available. Mm. So it's kind of like not a crisis line as such, but they are, if you have like a good one and you've really clicked with them and you've got a good relationship with them, and what I hope to be one day as well, I hope to be people's supervisors, I will be able to be there on standby for people, because this kind of industry is actually quite reliant on an emergency sometimes. Yep. Like it does happen. So yeah, I wasn't able to just ring her straight away, but I messaged her and then she rung me within like the half hour.
Okay.
And I cried. Yeah. Cried my eyes out. I was like, oh my God, I got so much life in my hands. But yeah, I'll go into more detail about that in another episode, I think, because it'll be good to explain to you what questions I asked myself and stuff, which made me carry on with him, which was like, interesting.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that all your questions for me?
I think so, at the moment.
All right, so are we on to the myth-busting
section?
Yeah. So we came up with this section because we believe that mental health is still in its journey from the dark to the light. Like if we were to compare it to physical health, that's you know, that's clearly visible to all and has, I think, been in the forefront in regards to acceptance in society for millennia, whereas mental health, I think, is only coming to the forefront prominently recently. And because of that, there are many myths and many taboos and many things that needs to be quashed in order to give it the equal standing it deserves.
Yeah, definitely.
So in regards to that, considering that I am at the start of my course, mm-hmm. and you are, you know, you finished your course and now fully qualified and starting your journey as a fully fledged professional, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Can you name and describe
one thought
that you had about counselling before you started that you no longer have now that you have finished the course? Yeah. A taboo that has been quashed.
Yeah, so I did have one, which I think actually is still out there, like it is what people believe, is that when you go to therapy, you're going there to solve all your problems and your therapist is there to, yeah, just make everything better for you. And it isn't actually the case. I did think that when I first ever started counselling myself, when I went to counselling, I thought to myself, well, they're just going to make me feel better. And I remember actually when I went counselling, he was like, well, what's your goal? And I was like, I want to wake up happy every single day. And he's like, well, that's unrealistic. He was like, no one wakes up happy every day. And I was like, I was like, that's interesting actually, because like, you're right. Yeah, no one wakes up happy every single day. I think what makes it a little bit more of a myth for a student as well is when you learn your hypnotherapy in the first year, your aim with hypnotherapy is to solve the person's problem or to solve it to a certain extent according to their goal. Whereas with therapy, so that's why I found it quite hard to transition between year one and year two, because you have to change your mindset in the way of like, you are not there to solve their goal, either reach their goal or solve their problem. You're not there for that. So you're there to guide them through a journey and either be able to deal with their problems on a daily basis and be able to just cope with them or work through them, but they'll never go away. It is just working through them enough to know that they're there. You've got those insecurities, you've got that grief, you've got that past experience that you've had. But then nothing's going to take that away. But yeah. It's about processing it properly and then moving past it, not completely solving it. There's just no way that you'll ever be able to stop something forever. It will come back every now and then. It's just about pushing it back away or being able to like understand it when it comes. Yeah, exactly. So
mechanisms and processes and sorts of like skill set in order to deal with the hardships that we all have to deal with, exactly. Rather than taking those hardships away.
Yeah. And that is one of the biggest myths. I also have another one just while it just literally popped into my head.
Go for it.
Which I did think about, like, just based off your question that you've just asked me, is that depression is really scary. So, again, when I went to counselling when I was in my early 20s, I remember my therapist asking me if I feel like I am depressed or anxious. And I was, I think I suffer from anxiety. And he was like, okay, well, we'll go through a thing called a GAD 7, which, like, you'll learn about in the course. And it's like 7 questions that, like, you can have, like, a GAD 11 and 19 and stuff like that. And it's like, basically, it does like a scale of, like, I think it's like 1 to 10 or something. You get a score of, like, how depressed you are or something like that.
Mm.
And yeah, so he said to me, like, we'll work out whether you're depressed or anxious. And at the end, he was like, I think you suffer from anxiety. And I went, yes. And he was like, why are you so happy? And I was like, oh, I don't want to be depressed. And he was like, what are you so afraid of being depressed? And I was like, oh, God, that sounds like, I don't never want to be depressed. It sounds awful. Like, people, like, want to commit suicide when they're like that. Like, that was my, like, thought about depression the whole time. Depression is, like, the darkest place you'll ever be in.
Mm.
And he was like, being depressed is an emotion. People experience it all the time, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a day, half an hour, a week, and then it goes. Like, people just deal with it differently. And I feel like I never saw it like that. Like, what's like your opinion or your first thought that comes into your head about depression? Like, what do you already know about it?
Well, I know that people can take medication for it. Mm-hmm. So I was under the understanding that it can be caused by like a chemical imbalance in the brain.
Mm.
I don't know what causes that chemical imbalance, but if tablets help prevent it, then...
I feel like the problem with tablets is that, like, I mean, I've never been on them myself. I've been around people that have been on them. But what I understand from their experience is that it, like, numbs everything, even clients. And I feel like I couldn't imagine feeling numb. But then, like, is that better than feeling so down all the time? And it obviously it must be, like, but you'll not ever be able to feel happiness. Mm. Like, it's...
Well, everyone that I know is on the tablets... would also go therapy. So I'm guessing the hope there is that the tablets are...
That's the thing.
...an interim and therapy is the long term.
That's the best thing. Whereas I've known a lot of people that are just on the tablets, which I feel like that's a temporary fix. Mm. I feel like talking is so important. And, like, I always encourage it, always, because I do feel like... You know, like, that saying when people say, like, a problem hard as a problem solved? You know that saying?
I did know it before you said that, but now you've said that, all I can think of is what you said.
A problem shared is a problem halved. Yeah, that one.
I actually wanted that to be one of our quotes, actually. I had that written down. Yeah.
God, thank God I didn't write it. I've already forgotten it, was it again? Problem shared is a problem halved. And I actually do know, I understand where that comes from now. I used to think that was such a weird little saying.
Yeah.
But it really is. Like, once you say it out loud, like... even just someone listening to it and, like, you just repeating it outside, like, getting it out of your body, out of your brain, just is that such a better process. Like, it's amazing, honestly. Talking through your issues are, like, one of the best things you can do.
Yeah, well, I would say, like, even the two of us doing it together, I feel that every day. So yeah,
well, when we talk about our feelings,
yeah, problems, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, couples counseling coming soon.
From people that have lived it.
There was another one that you wanted to bust, right?
Hypnotherapy. So we spoke about this a little bit earlier. I don't think I'm the only one out there, and I hope not, that when they first hear of hypnotherapy, they think of hypnosis, and they think of not that necessarily it's untrue, but that it might be a bit of a showpiece or a bit of a bit of wonder, a bit of theatre on the stage of, you're going to look into my eyes, and when I click my fingers, you're going to forget this, or you're going to think you're an animal. Yeah.
Yeah,
that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I guess because of exposure to it in that realm, that's where the mind naturally goes to when you hear about it. So when I heard... that the first year of the course to be a therapeutic counsellor was a whole year in hypnotherapy, I was really surprised.
Yeah, me too.
And I felt like that was definitely a mindset, like a taboo that I needed quashed. I needed to understand.
Mm.
So, like, if there's anything you can elaborate on hypnotherapy, my first session tomorrow for the rest of my year, fire away now.
So basically, when you go there, you do learn how to turn someone into an animal. No, kidding. No, joking. But when you do go, so I was skeptical. I went in there with the exact same mindset, and I do feel like you have to be a certain type of person to be able to open your mind up to it.
Mm.
And I am 100% believer in that. If you do open your mind to it, amazing things can happen.
But your mind has to be open. So, for example, I couldn't learn this and then secretively do it on you to get my way around the house. Well, who knows? You might
be great. Do what around the house?
I said do something.
Do something? Are you joking? I'll do everything. That's being recorded. Are you joking? There's all evidence that Bradley lives here, believe me. Well, I've lost my concentration now.
That bit will be edited.
No, it will not. That's staying in, and I do everything around this house. Hypnotherapy.
Alright, so let me say that bit again. Not around the house, but so what I was saying was, you're saying that the person has to be open to it. So if I'm trained in hypnotherapy, I couldn't just work my magic on you to get you to do something that without it you wouldn't have
done. That's the thing, your sentence, right? You can't even say it like that. It's not magic. It's like if you're able to get yourself into like a meditative, I can't say this word very well, meditative. But meditative.
Yeah.
It's like anemone. Well.
Little name. Yeah.
If you can get yourself into like a meditative state, and like you can, like, you know, some people, like, I can feel the third eye, and like when they go into like that mindfulness kind of scenario.
Yeah.
If you're able to do that, I believe you can do it. Like, you can get yourself in there. And I would never say, I'll never say never that I won't be able to do it. It's just that when I went there, I was so sceptical of it that I was just a bit like, for example, like, my hypnotherapy teacher made us all, like, put our hands, like, close together in front of us. And he'd be like, we're going to count to five, and then when we get to five, you're going to feel like your hands are like glued together, and then after a little while we're going to try and pull them apart. You're not going to be able to pull them apart. And he was talking like this. It was very calm, it was very lovely, but I was so conscious. I was like, okay. And then
it worked on.
He went, now lift your hands apart. I lifted my hands apart like easy as hell, and I looked around, there were people panicking because they couldn't open their hands, and I was like, they all pretending? But then when you speak to them after, like, I believe them. Like, they're not like just like pretend. Like, why would you? Like, they was like, honestly, I really couldn't. Like, they felt really heavy.
So hypnotherapy is not for all, but absolutely, it definitely does work on people that are open to it. So it is. Yeah. So it is a viable thing.
Definitely. And I know people that have stopped smoking from it. I've gone to, like,
so that's like a key. Is that a key thing?
Yeah. So like a lot of people go to hypnotherapy for like stopping smoking, dealing with anxiety, stress. I think what worries me is that telling someone that like I can not guarantee it, but I'm gonna help you stop smoking, and then being like at the end, well, you didn't. But you have to be you have to be open to it. You can't be skeptical of it to be able to like benefit from it. And I think I was just a bit too skeptical of it.
See, whereas this fascinates me. So listeners out there, in a year's time, if you're listening to this, so this was recorded the 23rd of May 2025. So anyone a year on from that date that has a need that they want hypnotherapy to help with, please do not go to Lauren, but please go to our website and make a referral for me, because I truly am excited about about how the brain works with this and where I will be next year with this, because I am very, very excited to practice this.
Don't get me wrong, it is so interesting. Like the rewiring the brain part of it. Fascinates like amazing. Me. It is amazing.
Techniques, like techniques to get you in the zone, things like that. I'm guessing that's what it is.
You know, like when you said that, like, what's my favourite year? The third was definitely my favourite year, and it will definitely be yours. I know it will be. It will be yours, regardless of what you say now. It will definitely be your favourite. Okay. But the first year was probably one of my second favourites, because I found it incredibly interesting. Incredibly. I loved going to something that I was sceptical of and being told otherwise. Loved it. And I just loved everything about the mind, about knowing that you can touch into someone's subconscious from it.
Yeah.
And I know it's definitely doable. I just know I'm not the best person to receive it. Mm. And then because of that, I don't think I'm the best person to give it. That's my ethical standard. So
yeah, but I think that's great. That's great because yeah. you've spoken to me a lot about therapy is right for everyone.
Yeah.
But not every therapist is right for everyone.
Absolutely.
And I think we talk about an unregulated industry and we talk about ethics and morals, and I think because of the industry it is, it really does rely on the person that you are seeing for your help. So I actually think it's quite admirable because you could provide that service, you could make money for it. Mm. But because of your thoughts on how it doesn't impact you, you don't think you're the best person for it.
Yeah.
In the little that we've spoken about it and what I know myself about the brain and cognitive science, I am fascinated by it. And I hope that in next year, and I believe next year, I'm going to be in a place where I'm going to really enjoy practicing that area.
Absolutely.
In regards to helping people with phobias and habits they want to kick.
Anxiety relief, pain relief. And that brings me on to something as well, that even though that I feel that way towards hypnotherapy, I've told you before, haven't I, that I'm quite fascinated by hypnobirthing. I know people that have gone through it. And I do actually believe that I think when I've had hypnotherapy done on me about the whole your hands will feel like cement or they're glued together, I felt like
it was the concept.
I feel like he said your brain's too analytical for it, which makes me think you're quite analytical, but I feel like you're so passionate about it and so excited about learning it, whereas I was kind of put into the dark about it. I had no one telling me what I was expecting, so it's a bit like my hands are gonna feel like glue. We know they're not gonna be like glue.
Whereas I'm guessing what you're getting at is that with hypnobirthing, practicing with someone of how to get themselves into a certain mental state,
exactly,
in which they block out certain signals or certain triggers.
And maybe one day
you could believe.
We can go on a little journey of when we have our own children one day. And then I can learn how to do hypnobirthing.
What, on yourself?
Yeah.
In a mirror?
No, I swear to God, you can. It's not like looking at someone.
Okay.
It's you can actually learn it yourself. You can learn it from your books own techniques. And stuff. Yeah. But don't learn it from books. Learn it from your mind. No, but seriously.
Maybe by then we'll be editing. Who knows?
But yeah, I think that is something I would be interested in looking at. And I would never pursue something that I don't fully feel invested in. Because you said, ethically, I am like that. I don't want to just take people's money. I really don't. Everyone wants to earn a living. Everyone wants to be rich. Absolutely. But I don't want to just do something for the sake of it and give someone a false hope that they're going to be solved by the end of it.
Okay. Well, I think that's the come to the end of this podcast.
Yeah.
I hope you've enjoyed our authentic insight into the realms of therapeutic counselling.
Yeah.
And we look forward to inviting you along for our next podcast.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the episode's going to be yet, but we will have a little think. If you have any ideas, feel free to get in touch. We've got our website, of course, which I'll put in the description, www.easyourmindcounselling.co.uk. And then we've got our Instagram, which is EYM Counselling, and then our Facebook, which is EYM Counselling. So, have a little look, get in touch, and we look forward to talking to you again.
And if there's any of you out there that feel like you need a little helping hand in navigating life and want to propel your mental health to the next level, please give Talking a shot with us and make a referral.
We're here for you guys.
Okay, see you later.
Bye.